Now, Prime Minister Turnbull has opened up the possibility of clean energy subsidies to build new and improved coal-fired power stations. Debate continues concerning the effects on climate change and the impact of the energy policies of the national government. To discuss the issue further, I'm joined by Chris Dunstan. Chris is a Research Director for Sustainable Futures at the University of Technology, Sydney. Chris, good morning.
G'day, Andrew.
Thanks so much for joining us on The Daily. Now, should clean energy subsidies be used for coal?
Well, generally speaking, it's not a good idea. We have signed up to the Paris Agreement to work towards zero net emissions globally by 2050. If you invest in more coal-fired power stations, they'll have a life of decades. And we need to be moving away from fossil fuels if we're going to meet those targets. And there's a lot of scientific evidence in terms of climate that 2050 may be too slow a transition. So it's hard to see how investing in more coal-fired power stations, even more efficient ones, could be consistent with both our political commitments and the sustainability imperatives of the climate.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you hear this term a lot, clean coal. Is there such a thing, or is it actually a contradiction in terms?
Well, there's certainly cleaner coal,
but
we have a range of coal power stations in Australia ranging from the dirtiest in the world in Victoria with brown coal and the Hazelwood plant, which is due to close, I think, within about a month or two, and to the more efficient black coal power stations in Queensland and New South Wales. But even the most efficient and the most modern coal-fired power stations in Australia are still very dirty in terms of their carbon emissions compared to renewable energy. So, not really.
Yeah, that's what I would have thought. You just mentioned two terms there, brown coal and black coal. What are the differences? And am I right in thinking you're saying black coal is more efficient? Is that right?
Well, black coal, when it burns, it can burn more efficiently because it's got a lot less water in it.
Right.
In Victoria, they don't have black coal. They only have brown coal, at least in any sizable amount. And so Victoria developed its brown coal resources as that was what was available many decades ago when they were looking to provide supply.
Right.
So, yeah.
Okay, that's what they've got down there. Now, are there any benefits to the consumer for subsidies on coal?
If we didn't have a range of better options, particularly around not just renewable energy, but importantly, energy efficiency and demand management as well, then maybe there could be. But in terms of bang for our buck, in terms of taxpayers' money being invested, there are much better ways and more cost-effective ways to deliver lower energy bills than investing in more, even lower emission coal.
What are some of the alternatives then to coal?
Well, most of the investment in electricity generation worldwide over the last 12 months has actually been in renewable energy.
Right.
And we've seen the cost of wind and solar in particular falling dramatically year after year. Particularly over the last 15 years or so. So renewables are becoming much cheaper to the point where in terms of cents per kilowatt hour, wind is comparable with coal generation, and there's many people who expect solar to be a comparable price pretty soon in terms of cents per kilowatt hour. But there's more to the electricity system than just the coal, the cost of generation. You need to take account of the cost of transmission and distribution. And one of the big advantages of solar is that you can generate it on your roof or nearby and thereby reduce
now,
the amount of networks.
Should we all be climbing on the roofs at home and putting solar panels up?
Maybe not personally climbing on the roof, but there's millions of homes in Australia that have done that.
Yep.
They've done that with some subsidies and support. To date, those subsidies are winding back, and they've already wound back very dramatically over the last few years. And increasingly, we're seeing people invest in solar because that it's a cheaper option.
Mm.
But there are issues around solar in terms of balancing the system. Solar doesn't generate at night. It goes up and down, and we do need to make sure that we balance that across the system as a whole.
Mm-hmm. And, well, could the same be said for wind, for example? It's not always going to be windy enough to turn the big windmills.
That's right. The amount of solar and wind that we have on the system at the moment is not so much that it creates any serious issues in terms of its variability,
mm-hmm.
but as we move to 20, 30, 50 and approach 100% renewable penetration, then those issues are very real and they need to be dealt with. Now, people are looking to battery storage mm-hmm. as a way of absorbing the surplus and putting it back to the grid when it's required, but we need to be thinking beyond just battery storage, because if we just rely on battery storage, even though the price of that is also falling, it would be quite an expensive solution. And that's why we need to be thinking about not just how we generate and store our power, but how we use it. We need to be managing our demand, mm-hmm. reducing our overall consumption through energy efficiency, which is our biggest, cheapest and quickest way of reducing emissions and reducing bills, but also being smart about moving the consumption to match patterns of generation as well.
Right. And just to finish up, what do you see as the future of energy in Australia?
Well, some of the
realistically,
trends,
I know we've signed all these various things that saying we're going to do things, but realistically, what do you think we're going to be achieving and what do you think we'll be doing?
Well, I think globally we'll move towards a zero emission electricity sector,
mm-hmm.
But that's going to take some time. One of the key questions for Australia is, will we be a leader or a laggard? Will we develop our own industries in this space? We have been leaders, particularly in solar in the past.
Mm-hmm.
We've lost a lot of that leadership, but at least technically that's still there. So there's opportunities for us in that space. Solar has been growing dramatically over a number of years. That's a big opportunity. But the biggest area that people don't pay enough attention to is in smart energy management. And there are a number of new startups getting going in Australia, and that is probably the most neglected and the biggest opportunity for reducing bills and creating jobs in Australia.
Right. Well, Chris, thank you so much for joining us on The Daily. Some very, very interesting stuff there.
No problem. Thanks, Adrian.